We're going to move. Director Kenwit was here for 436, but out of respect to the large number of people that are here for 435, I'm going to hold off on that closer to 445, and we'll do 435 next, which is a time certain.
Okay, 435, establish an open data policy and create an open data program for the City of Portland.
Good morning. This open data source ordinance expands upon the work that's already been completed as part of the 2009 open data resolution. It establishes mechanisms for engaging all city bureaus in the proactive collection and distribution of city data. Portland was the very first jurisdiction to pass a resolution to state its commitment to open data. And Portland continues to be on the cutting edge, now taking this important next step to set up policies to implement open data. This ordinance is a result of a partnership between the City of Portland and Bloomberg Philanthropies' What Works Cities. Leadership and staff from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the City Budget Office are here to present the details of that partnership and that ordinance before you today. I'll now turn it over to Commissioner Saltzman, who is also introducing this important ordinance. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This partnership will bring a powerful tool to our residents, local business, and mission-driven organizations. As we'll learn more about today, open data at its core is about fostering transparency and efficiency in government. I am particularly enthusiastic on the potential open data has to meet our transportation goals. One practical application that has now become commonplace is the use of real-time data to receive information on transit arrivals. This convenience would not have materialized if the raw data was not made available and formatted for such a purpose. In partnership with our local tech community, we aspire to collect and release data that will decrease congestion, increase transit ridership, and active transportation opportunities. This open data program will not just benefit our transportation plans, but a host of city services, from affordable housing placement to enhancing our emergency medical response system. So I want to thank all the bureaus involved in the effort, as well as you, Mayor, for your leadership in bringing this forward today.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Andrew Scott, I'm the City Budget Director, and I'm just going to provide a little bit of brief context before letting Susan and others on the team dive into some of the details. But, you know, it's exciting to have this ordinance before us, and you know, I think we've all seen the stories. Big data is here. It's going to radically change everything about our lives, everything the way we present and provide city services. And I think, while some of those stories might be a little bit science fiction, some of them are definitely true. And the reality is that we are today better able to use data to improve our city programs and services than we ever have been able to do in the past. Trends in data collection, trends in data visualization, and also new analytical approaches to working with that data are making performance management a really rapidly evolving field within local government. At the City Budget Office, we've been building the city's performance management program over the last few years. And as part of that process, it was really important to us that we set out to learn what other cities are doing in this area that's proven effective so that we can adopt some of those best practices. Our research in that area led us to this national initiative called What Works Cities, as the mayor and Commissioner Saltzman mentioned. The initiative, which is sponsored by Bloomberg Philanthropies, intends to support 100 mid-sized American cities, enhance their use of data and evidence to increase citizen engagement, make government more effective, and improve the lives of residents. What Works Cities began in April 2015, and they're now working with 77 cities across the country. With a letter of support from this city council, the City Budget Office applied to What Works Cities, and we were officially named last October 2016. As part of our engagement with What Works Cities, we're joining these other jurisdictions pursuing these new administrative approaches to enhancing services. Other cities that are part of this initiative include Seattle, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Denver, Kansas City, New Orleans, and also our next-door neighbor, Gresham. What Works Cities provided us with technical assistance to build our capacity to use data and evidence. Last year, Bureau leaders and City Council staff gathered with What Works Cities team to determine where Portland ranked on how well we do a number of things, how well we set goals for ourselves, how well we measure progress against those goals, how we take stock of things that are happening in the city, and most importantly, how we act upon the data and information we have to improve those services. As part of that site visit last year, we heard loud and clear that despite the fact that a number of our bureaus use data and analytics regularly, as a city, we struggle to work together. Bureaus from across the city expressed an interest in working collaboratively and breaking down natural silos in order to better serve our residents. A second takeaway from that meeting is that while we collect and report on data across many service areas, staff within city bureaus want to see more evidence of how this data and information is being used in decision making. We're not alone in this challenge. This is actually within the field referred to. It has a title. It's referred to as the City Hall Data Gap. As an example, 70% of cities that apply to the What Works Cities program initiative state that they are committed to using data and evidence to make decisions about city programs, but only about 28% actually end up modifying existing programs based on the results of data and evaluations. And I think as part of this effort, we're going to hear about ways that we can improve that and be leaders in that area. To address all the challenges that came out of that site visit, our partners at What Works Cities determined three specific scopes of work and project goals for Portland. And these were approved by council in a resolution and ordinance that was passed last September. Those three areas are, first of all, enhancing our performance management practices and continuing to build upon the work we've done there. Building the capacity to apply behavioral insights and conduct low-cost evaluations to improve city programs and services. And finally, what we're going to hear a lot about today, renew our city's foundations on open data. I just want to highlight briefly a few wins that we've had from that engagement with What Works Cities. In the area of performance management, CBO's worked with a technical partner, the Center, Government Center for Excellence, to facilitate a Gator session on development review bureaus that identified strategies to accelerate housing development in the city, which is a really important important area that I know there's been a lot of focus and attention on. In terms of low-cost program evaluations, we've actually been working with the Behavioral Insights Team, which is a consultancy internationally recognized for their work in the United Kingdom to increase tax compliance and improve workforce training outcomes. And we've worked with the Behavioral Insight Team on a number of program evaluations, ranging from encouraging emergency preparedness and better ways to engage in emergency preparedness, supporting active transportation, and finally improving the police hiring process. We're going to come back to council in the future and discuss the complete results of our engagement with What Works Cities in more detail after we close out that work at the end of the fiscal year. As I mentioned, though, today we're going to be focusing specifically on that third scope of that engagement, which is our effort to advance a more robust policy and practice for open data in the city. I think this work could be some of the most important that we're doing to enable the greater use of data and evidence, since that data provides the foundation for all other modern administrative practices and improvements that we hope to make. It's been a pleasure to work with Susan and Kevin and the Bureau of Plan and Sustainability on this effort, and we look forward to seeing how the city and community can reap the fruits of this partnership in years to come.
Great. Thank you. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and happy to work with Andrew on this. We seem to be working on a lot together lately. As the mayor mentioned, the city actually was a kind of early adopter in this kind of work back in 2009. Mayor Adams kind of pushed forward this idea about open data and had a resolution. The Bureau of Technology Services at that time developed a portal called Civic Apps. And we organized several different groups in the city, kind of worked together to develop a hackathon. We had some regional different contests and encouraged the private sector to develop new applications using civic apps. And so what happened was it was somewhat successful, but we didn't really have that much data opened up yet. It was pretty limited. And then I think after that first big push, it just kind of fell apart and not much more happened. So in the past 7 or 8 years, even though we were kind of out there at first, other cities have just moved on ahead and we've kind of lagged behind. What's interesting is that in the world of planners and sort of data people that have this kind of information, Portland and Metro and the PSU Population Center and others are actually kind of known for really having a lot of great quality data for the Metro region. We just don't have a way to have everybody have access to it, and we need to have good protocols for how to do that. So that's what we're proposing today, to have an overall open data policy and strategy. Kevin Martin in my office and the City Budget Office, along with BTS and several others, have been working together on this. the beauty of coming a little later to the game is that a lot has been done on this. There is a lot of expertise at What Works Cities, at the Sunlight Foundation, at Johns Hopkins University, and other places that we've been able to mine and bring into what we're proposing. So the goals of the policy that we're hoping to achieve are to provide better access, increase transparency. Hopefully by increasing transparency, we increase, to some extent, the openness and trust in government, improving community engagement, finding ways that people can better engage and better access information from all of the bureaus. It also will hugely reduce staff time in terms of the time it takes to respond to questions, because we will all be able to access this information more easily. And then advance opportunities for innovation with private companies being able to access that data. In addition, open data is really fundamental to the work we're doing on smart cities. Smart cities, again, is being able to use really quality data and new technologies to improve the delivery of our city services. And so, as both the mayor and Commissioner Salzman mentioned, the outcome of this is to improve how we do transportation and housing and education and environmental protection, air quality, and other areas by having access to good data. You all know that data is not the only thing that helps you make it, that you base your decisions on. It's community engagement. It's a lot of other pieces. But if you don't have good data to start with, you don't have a good basis for making some of those choices. And I know often we come back to this, well, if we only had that piece of information. So I think this is a great opportunity. I want to turn it over to Kevin, Alyssa, and Shannon, who have done most of the work on this, and they'll be able to present what we're proposing to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioner Salzman, rest of council. I'm Kevin Martin. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I manage the Smart Cities team there, as well as the technical team. I'm joined up here by Alyssa Doom from the Sunlight Foundation, who flew out from Washington, D.C. to be here today. So thanks, Alyssa, and to Shannon Carney from the City Budget Office, who is been a close partner in this work.
Thank you both.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about specifically what this ordinance does and why we're doing it. Presentation is up there. Great. So what does this open data ordinance do? It does three things. It establishes a general open data policy, which is that the city will be committed to the publication, accessibility, and equitable and widespread sharing of data collected and generated by all city bureaus and by private sector companies, nonprofit organizations, academic universities, and other parties working on behalf of the city. The city will strive to make data open by default. And then it creates an open data program to implement that policy and establishes a data governance team to determine the overall direction of the open data program and to develop more specific policies and practices around data sharing and to engage external stakeholders in program design and implementation. And sort of the scope and initial tasks of that data governance team are laid out in Exhibit A of the ordinance. So what does this open data program address? The city has no comprehensive centralized list of existing data sets and no process for prioritizing or reviewing of data for release to the public. Multiple redundant data sets exist across the city, leading to issues with data consistency, data quality, version control, interoperability, and efficiency of access to information. The city currently has no system for prioritizing or connecting requests for data to our public records request system, and no process for prioritizing data that is repeatedly requested for release to the public. The amount of staff time devoted to public records requests is significant. We had more than 25,000 formal requests in 2016. And if you just guess wildly and probably us underestimate wildly the amount of time staff devotes to each one of those requests, and say it's an hour, that's 12 FTE of time that is spent each year just responding to public records requests. So, you know, roughly $1 million a year. And again, that's probably a very low estimate. And that's only the formal requests we get. Does not include all the informal requests that come into the city or all the time staff spend asking other bureaus for their data. Better data management, analysis, and evaluation is a necessary foundation for Portland Smart Cities efforts, as Susan mentioned. which focus on using data to inform decisions, to design and evaluate policies and programs, and to partner with the private sector to meet city goals around livability, affordability, safety, sustainability, and equity. Currently, there are few data sharing mechanisms to facilitate collaboration across city bureaus and with private and non-profit sectors, academia, the labor community, and the general public. Information relevant to city operations is increasingly being collected by the private sector, often in the public domain. The city has no consistent policies for data sharing with the private sector. City data is often designed and structured to address a single use case, organized in files on a server, often accessible only to the single individual who knows that those files are there. We kind of treat data as these files, these digital liabilities, rather than a resource that the entire city and the public should have access to. Good data design is not always a priority. A culture of data sharing will lead to improved data structure and content, more understandable to a wide range of users, greater use of existing standards and common formats, and more usable information and data that is more accessible to city staff and the public. And the analogy I like to use here is by sharing our data, we make it better, and we make it better by sort of being more proactive in designing it to be used. You know, when you invite people over to your house, the first thing you usually do in that house is clean it, and we have a lot of house cleaning to do with our data here in the city. When you're cleaning that house, it makes it easier if you have places to put everything, drawers to put things in, containers for things. Things aren't just laying all over the floor. We have a lot, by thinking more about sharing our data, we build those kind of containers into it to make it more organized. And so by making our data more open and shareable, we really improve the quality of the data that we create here in the city, which benefits us all. Who will do this work? The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has asked for one FTE to coordinate the initial implementation. That position has been included in the mayor's proposed budget. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. We understand that few bureaus have resources dedicated to managing and sharing of their data. So in addition to helping launch the program, that position will also assist the data-generating bureaus, helping them develop policies for inventorying and sharing of their data, and to be a resource they can use to assist them with participation in the program. This position will also work with the data governance team to develop a system of governance for the Open Data Program and to identify resources and funding needed to implement successful and sustainable data governance in the city. Also, identifying methods for engaging external stakeholders, representatives of diverse Portland communities, in the ongoing implementation of the Open Data Program. Quickly, what specific city goals does this achieve? There are probably many that I don't list here, but a few of them. The Portland Plan, a primary goal was of the implementation was to coordinate processes for data collection and data analysis. Comprehensive Plan Chapter 2, Policy 211, states that the city will encourage publication, accessibility, and widespread data sharing of data collected and generated by the city. The city's racial and equity goals and strategies, one of them is improved access to data to measure the success of specific programmatic and policy changes and to develop baselines, set goals, and measure progress. Finally, for me, what are some of the community benefits? There are many. I think these are sort of the big three. It empowers our residents by giving them greater access to usable information about city decisions, policy, and services. Really, information is increasingly power, and by sharing our information, we distribute that power. It provides the public increased transparency into the effectiveness of city programs and policies. It levels the playing field by making data about city operations more widely available, not just to those with connections or expertise. It fosters a culture of collaboration by providing information that the community can act upon and by developing systems that support two-way sharing of information and feedback, like a 311 system. Internally, data collected about and by Portland residents is more structured and consistent and made more widely available throughout the city. More proactive city decisions that are formed by data and evaluated against data improves our city programs and the quality and delivery of our services. And the local tech community gets access to data they can use to help solve Portland's most pressing issues, to boost economic development, and to build ladders of opportunity for our community through innovative uses of data and technology. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Alyssa to talk about the perspective from the Sunlight Foundation. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Melissa Joom, and I'm the Open Data Project Manager with the Sunlight Foundation. Sunlight is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based in D.C., and we advocate for transparency and accountability in government through open data. And I had the opportunity to work with Shannon and Kevin on the city's open data ordinance as a part of the What Works Cities project. And so as a part of What Works Cities, at this point, it's been about 2 years, or just over 2 years, I have worked with over 30 cities, helping them to craft and build support for the implementation of their open data policies, including Seattle, San Jose, Tacoma, Boulder, Anchorage, Kansas City, Kansas. The list goes on and on. And I've seen a lot in terms of open data all across the country. And so I just wanted to say a few words about the work that Portland is doing based upon this experience. So Portland is really very unique in that it was the first city, as you all know, and as has been said today, to adopt an open data resolution in the country, and the first city to have an open data portal. The city already collects a great deal of structured data and has a foundation in place for an open data program. And the civic tech community is extremely active here. I was able to see this firsthand when I attended the Hack Oregon event on Monday night at OMSI. And I guess based on my experience, I would say that all of the other cities that I've been working with would be very envious to have a group of people that are that dedicated to using city data to improve their community. It was a really incredible experience. And so this ordinance really just builds upon all of the great work that's already been done here. Sunlight Foundation, through our work with cities all across the country, has developed a set of open data policy guidelines. We have 31 guidelines that are sort of our best practices in open data policy that we've seen in researching the way that policies work across the country. And so this draft ordinance would add an additional 20 or I should say an additional 12 open data best practices to the resolution that exists already. And some of these best practices include prioritizing the release of data based on things like public records requests, as Kevin mentioned earlier. Also safeguarding sensitive information, really just implementing a practices to make sure that confidential and secure data remains that way, and kind of creating a balance test between risk versus benefits of releasing certain data sets. And also just creating a process to standardize the way that data is collected across city bureaus. Right now, as we've said, there's a lot of work being done, but a lot of that is in an ad hoc way. And so the governance committee that is a part of this open data ordinance would help to create that process. And then I just wanted to say that there are two sort of unique ways that the ordinance stands out. And the first is that it promotes a regional network to share data and to create regional data standards. And this is work that we see as becoming increasingly important. And we see this having worked with cities all across the country, just being able to share data between cities and between different institutions within the region, I think is really important to seeing the full potential that open data has to offer. And then the second thing that I wanted to mention is that the ordinance asks that the governance team develop contract provisions to ensure that the city maintains ownership of the data collected on behalf of the city. And this is, I mean, things like the data that are collected with smart city sensors, all different kinds of data are collected by those organizations that the city procures from. And so this will really help. Being able to have access to this data will really help to help the city better manage infrastructure and make policy decisions. And so with an existing and active network of data consumers in the city, with a good foundation already in place, and then with access to the What Works Cities peer network, which is, as was mentioned earlier, 77 cities and going strong, the city will have the opportunity to reach out to all of these different other cities that are working on similar or that are facing similar challenges in implementing their open data programs and policies to help answer any questions that they have moving forward. So Portland will be well poised to realize the full potential of open data upon adopting this ordinance. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you for being here. Yeah. We appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. So my name is Shannon Carney, and again, I'm from the City Budget Office. And so I'm here to say a few words today about a more unsung benefit to open data. So we all know that opening up access to our data is intended to be a catalyst for our nonprofit partners, or universities, community advocates that are interested in civic innovation. And there's another beneficiary of open data, and that's the internal bureaus of the City of Portland. It's often the case that the biggest beneficiary of open data policy is paradoxically the organization that's making that data accessible to others. And that's what we call the internal value of open data. So how could that possibly be, right? And I am sure it's not hard for you to imagine that it's fairly cumbersome for, you know, an average employee of the City of Portland to get data from another bureau, potentially as cumbersome as it would be to get from an outside agency. Typically requires a call or an email, maybe even setting up a meeting in person to advocate for why you might need a report that would be available via a typical records request. In fact, according to a McKinsey report, it was published a few years ago. Employees in organizations of all types spend 1.8 hours every day, and that's 9.3 hours per week if we're counting, on average, just searching and gathering information. So that same report found that a searchable record of knowledge, like an open data portal, can reduce that amount of time by as much as 35%. So Portland's information is captured and managed by systems with names that some of us will recognize, names like Brass, SAP, Kayenta, and Trax. But data is the universal language that runs through all of those systems. If we as a city can move from being an organization that's organized around our systems to one that's organized around our data, then opportunities for improving our programs and services become much more available to us. Any information that's saved on individual desktops or bureau-specific server folders make the matter much worse. And that siloed information is not accessible to the rest of the city and means that other employees will waste time duplicating work, or worse, that services just aren't delivered at all. And that was the case on the issue of accelerating housing development. It really prevented the city from understanding what the drivers were for accelerating development until a recent Gator session on that topic. So, in sum, ensuring that as much information is stored as centrally as possible really enables our employees to tap into that collective knowledge of our city. And it's an approach that supports the use of evidence in decision-making that's really central to making a more effective yet affordable government. So a lot of people ask me, what are these opportunities? How are we going to be using this type of data and improving our everyday work? And I have a few examples to share, some of which we're already deploying here in the city. So the first is the low-cost program evaluation that Director Scott talked about earlier. So this approach is one that the City of Louisville used to address their over $1.1 million in unpaid parking fines. Using the approach, that city changed a notification letter, and some of you have heard about this example, but I just think it's a great one. They drew on behavioral insights to provide a clearer call to action in a final notification letter that increased the rate of repayment by 10.5%, the response rate. And that's resulted in that city gaining over $100,000 per year from what they were in revenue from those parking fines. It's using predictive analytics, and that's where in New Orleans, officials there turned a terrible fire tragedy in that city into a better service for all citizens by creating a model that helps firefighters identify which homes are most at risk of having a non-functioning smoke detector and contacting the homes in those areas to offer a free installation. It's using performance-based contracting, where in Seattle, Washington, that city is using this approach to more actively manage their homeless services contracts. And it's used in process improvement, where the City of Denver is tracking their time saved and doing small innovations and translating that into dollars saved for citizens of that community. And finally, it's used in performance management. We're here in Portland. A Gator session last year brought executive attention and a new look into existing data around patrol staffing levels around the city. And real call to action that has resulted in some real results. So where the Bureau had hired 20 sworn staff through last fiscal year, as of early April, the Bureau had hired 47 sworn positions and retained 15 this year. So that's some good progress. So, in sum, in an era of expanding community need, data and analytics is a way, and perhaps the way, to improve our productivity even more than adding additional staff. In many cases, we already have the necessary analytical skill and enthusiasm to conduct this kind of the projects I've described. I know that there's been over 50 employees that have requested to be a part of our Tableau user group, and that's a group of analysts that are working on data visualization techniques and understanding of city data. And recent events on program evaluation and process improvement were oversubscribed by city staff. But this missing piece is what we're addressing here today, and that's that many analysts don't have ready access to data outside of their immediate program or bureau. It's really strange when you realize that that there's really no city service or program that is a single bureau offering. We're dependent on our internal services, and we have cross-cutting issues that we're incorporating, like equity and sustainability. I think it's really our duty to the residents of Portland that we make our data available so that we can mine this wealth of data and turn it into a wealth of insight. Any mistakes, wasted effort, these things are representative of resources that could be programmed and better able to serve residents of Portland. And I think to the degree that we're doing this, it's impacting the neediest in our community most. So when we can make our government more efficient, we can help more people and make our community better. So I am so thrilled to be working on this project, and thank you for this opportunity to work on the project with our What Works Cities partners, and happy to support Bureau of Planning and Sustainability in this effort. I really believe that it will help transform our city's workforce into a greater source for good in our community. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And with that, I want to bring up Skip Newberry from the Technology Association of Oregon and Kat Nikolovsky from Hack Oregon to give us a perspective from the private sector and the local tech community.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Good morning, Mayor and members of City Council. My name is Skip Newberry. I'm the President and CEO of the Technology Association of Oregon. We're a tech trade association that works with about 420 tech and tech-enabled companies in the region and ranges from very large companies to early-stage startups. I want to talk a little bit about the significance of this ordinance for economic development outcomes as well as talent in the region. In terms of economic development in the area of smart cities, a clearly defined open data policy enables the city to really proactively define how it wants to work with the private sector in developing solutions that benefit residents here. In partnership with local companies, TriMet's developing a multimodal transit app that integrates well with both rideshare and bike share programs, and that's a perfect example of what's possible with this type of an approach. In the area of entrepreneurship, back in Civic Apps for Greater Portland days in 2009 and subsequently, there are a number of examples of companies that were formed from some of the hackathons and data sprints that were enacted as part of that. One of them, for example, was GeoLoki, which is a geolocation-focused startup that was acquired by Esri. That became the basis for Esri's Portland office. Apps such as PDX Bus, which was utilized heavily, subsequently were developed as a result of that effort as well. And it also, I think, really helps to improve public services. Cities that are seen as attractive to tech talent and companies are seen as having great digital infrastructure. And, you know, a focus on a comprehensive open data policy helps to further those objectives and keep Portland competitive. In the area of talent development, the technology industry created about 20,000 net new jobs in the region in the last 5 years. And as we're looking to prepare local folks for those positions, students and professionals, this represents a tremendous opportunity to give them applied learning opportunities, solving problems that they understand and appreciate that are in their own backyards. So local colleges and universities we work with are often looking for capstone projects for their students to give them real-world training alongside tech companies. This is a perfect case in point. And at the high school level, we're seeing a lot of interest from students. Engagement levels go through the roof when they're able to define a problem they want to apply technology to solve. And this is a perfect case of that. I want to next turn it over to Kat from Hack Oregon because I think they represent a really interesting, almost ideally situated program here in the Portland area to help train students as well as professionals in the latest data visualization and coding skills to make them competitive. Kat?
Thank you, Skip. Good morning.
Morning.
So I'll briefly describe HackWorgen. I'm the founder and executive director. We've been around for about 4 years working on open data technology with the community in Portland. And we've essentially are driven by a massive volunteer engagement of individuals who often are at the top of the field in tech and creative industries locally, but we also have quite a few people who are looking at open data as an opportunity to learn how to build advanced analytic systems. Because, of course, in order to work with data in a way that you can get meaningful insight, it takes a huge team. And this is something that, when you have open data, creates an opportunity for this call to action where if you succeed, you end up with insight. That actually can help the place that you live in. And so this is something in Oregon which is completely unique across the country is that we don't just put together quick weekend hackathons. We actually are building advanced systems that can help to make an affordable solution to the how of some of what's going to happen once we can improve our open data frameworks with the city. What do you do with that data? Building visual interactive data portals, so civic apps, was not as easy to use as we might have liked, but in preparation for an ordinance like this passing, HackWorgen's call to action for this year was actually to think about what a updated, cutting-edge open data portal would look like. And I think that what citizens and what government would want to see is something that's visual, something that's easy to use, something that has an applied type of insight toward big issues that people are thinking about, and has that opportunity to build what we think of as integration or these synapses of points of connections between bureaus. And, you know, for example, we worked with the Housing Bureau to take their State of Housing report and make it something that you can understand visually, interact with, it's empathetic, but that we also added new data to that. And we were looking at pulling historic voter registration to see where people had been living and where people had actually been moving so we can understand a little bit more about what's happening in the city. We worked also with the Joint Office of Homeless Services, and perhaps we weren't able to bring a lot of new data there, but we were able to take the data they did have that was in a form that was difficult to understand, full of things that you can't share with the public because of privacy concerns, and take the story for everybody who has been working with homelessness and make that something that the public can engage with a little bit more. We also worked with PBOT to help to create a conflict reporter. They don't always have the ability to properly track and manage where different construction projects are happening. Just with open data, working with them, we could build that program all with citizens that can help to track those and save money. These are just, of course, with the budget office, we took something which is a 600-page printout to understand the Portland City budget, which is something we talk about a lot, in this room especially, and make it so that you actually can be empowered with being able to browse through and really visualize and understand what the budget means. And what's important in our approach to doing this is not only that we're incredibly inclusive and that we're matching up these different technical resources to empower new people to get into the industry, to expand people's advanced skills, but that we're essentially a neutral, nonpartisan organization that doesn't have a lot of stake in you know, what the actual outcomes are. What we care is just to be able to see farther and present people with their own information so that they can come to engage in an honest way. Because sometimes open data will show you that something you think is true actually is true, and sometimes it will show you something completely different that you didn't expect. But it's important that we have the ability to have that information at our fingertips, and that once we make the decision to create a common language that data can be open, then we can start to explore all of these new innovative ways that we can apply that information. And with the help of groups like HackWorgen looking to open source, we have built a platform that will actually help to make all of the visual interactivity reproducible, faster, accessible, and inexpensive for government to be able to actually work with, so that some of these solutions don't have to be really expensive and confusing. We actually can lead the way here in Oregon by making everything that we build a model for other cities to do the same thing.
Mayor, can I make a comment?
Commissioner Fish, you
bet. Since Kat's here, I want to embarrass her a little bit. I was part of a large city contingent that was at OMSI Monday witnessing the presentation, and it was a full house at OMSI. And I am not the most technologically savvy person on the council, but by the end of the evening, I became a true believer in what the potential is for open data and partnerships with organizations like Hack Oregon. It turned out that the audience award at the end of the night was for the presentation that related to the Fire Bureau. And there was some astonishing data that they came up with on the Fire Bureau. But I was also really taken by some of the findings and some of the reporting around homelessness. And it occurred to me that we often struggle with defining what's the right metrics that we use at budget time. And a group of volunteers crunching data came up with actually a set of metrics which I think are more useful than some of the ones that we currently use, or at least Andrew and I can have that debate. But it was terrific. And so I compliment you for all your work. But I also want to say that a highlight of the evening for me was the 84-year-old gentleman I sat next to. And he was very modest, and his daughter was very modest until I put two and two together. His name is Paul Cameron. And those of you old enough to know, he was the one of the great running backs at UCLA in college football in the 50s. He was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy Award. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers and ended up being a defensive back for them and had a great career, and then went on to another celebrated career. He's also Kat's dad. So it was kind of cool. It's the first time I've been in the presence of college football royalty. He flew up from California to watch his daughter do this presentation. Or actually, your grandfather.
My father.
Excuse me, your dad. Let me get it right. But congratulations for that whole event. And I know all the city people that were there were very proud to play a role.
Thank you.
I have a question for Kat. You mentioned some projects that you did with the city or with city data. Can people find those on civic apps?
So we did a demo on Monday night just for the theater, and it will be live at civicpdx.org. Everyone will be able to see the program that we built. It's also meant to be scalable. We've published every single piece of data in sort of its own discrete form, but it connects to other things, and so you can imagine how you would add in new pieces of data in that type of visual way, and all of the code is open source, available, can be used to create new stories as we start to add things from what we want to do next, but also other cities can use this as a model for really the only completely open source visual open data portal that exists, built by people that live in Portland as volunteers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So before we get to testimony, if you'll humor me, I just wanted to run through some thank yous real quick. There were over 150 people that reviewed this ordinance since we started writing it in October. Folks from bureaus across the city, transportation, Portland Police Bureau, Portland Development Commission, as well as folks outside the city. Andrew and his team at City Budget's office in particular have been an incredible asset. Shannon, this is all really her brainchild, and so she's really the reason we're all sitting here today. City attorneys, Kalei Taylor and Jennifer Johnson, for keeping it all above board. BTS, Bureau of Technology Services, Jeff Barron and his team, despite all that they have going on with a data center move and a Portland building move, really devoted a lot of their time to improving this ordinance, giving us guidance and feedback. And I also want to acknowledge everything that the Bureau of Technology Services has done since 2009 to move us forward on open data and data governance. OMF Tom's team, Celia Heron in particular, and Betsy Ames, just helped me, a novice ordinance writer, really get this over the finish line. Chris Smith of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, his policy 211 in the comp plan was really the spark that led us to this day of moving forward on an open data program and policy. Mayor Wheeler and your staff for putting some resources into implementation and our smart cities work in general. Commissioner Saltzman, your chief of staff, Brendan Finn, for being a champion of open data and data-driven decision-making since the day you arrived in City Hall many, many years ago, and frustratingly not seeming to age a day since he got here. And finally, especially Alyssa Doom at the Sunlight Foundation. Her name sounds like a superhero, and she has been a superhero in this effort. Absolutely would not have been able to get it done without her. So wanted to thank her. And with that, I think we're done.
Thank you. So we're going to move to public testimony. And, folks, we have 12 more agenda items, including some fairly substantive ones. I don't like doing this, but in the interest of time, I'm going to have to limit public testimony to 2 minutes rather than the typical three. And I'm sorry about that, but as I just said, we have a very full agenda and not enough time to do it. Please call the first three.
Okay, and we have we have a total of 10 people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Chris Smith, Lee Coates, and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Chris Smith, and I'm Vice Chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, but I want to emphasize that I'm testifying as an individual citizen today. I am a longstanding cheerleader and participant for Open Data. I had the honor of serving as a judge in the first Portland Open Data contest back in 2009. I was one of the first developers to get access to TriMet's Open Data and still run a nonprofit project that's placed about 50 transit arrival screens out in the community and building lobbies and cafes and other places that are publicly accessible. I urge you to adopt this ordinance. While the commission I serve on has not formally reviewed this or made a recommendation, what I can say is that during the development of the comp plan, the PSC recommended a very strong open data policy that ultimately was a little bit more general because the city attorney wasn't comfortable with potentially casting open data as a land use decision. But I can say that the principles that the PSC supported then are very much the ones reflected in this ordinance. And this ordinance is almost exactly what I would have wanted in an implementing ordinance for that comp plan recommendation. So I am very happy to see this. And I would finally add greetings from CSVConf, which is an open data conference, an international open data conference happening here in Portland today. And there were several folks who said they would be here this morning to testify if they weren't tied up at the conference. So please accept their good wishes. Thank you, and I hope you adopt this.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lee Coates. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Saltzman, for introducing the ordinance. We're at a historic junction between technology and government, and your consideration in this matter is critical and appreciated. I'm here today to encourage City Council to adopt the Open Data Ordinance. I've lived and worked in this region for many years, and I'm here to show that Portland citizens support the Council committing resources and organizational sponsorship on this matter. While living here, I've had the opportunity to work with several surrounding jurisdictions and other local organizations in a technical way. Open data is usually a big topic of conversation, but not something that has received a lot of traction on the ground in day-to-day work. There seems to almost be a reticence to commit to it, despite the intuition that it is the right thing to do. And however, while working with various municipalities in Oregon, a common theme that emerges is, well, what is Portland doing? And the work that the city has already done is very encouraging, and it's tremendous. Looking at the proposed plan, I think it can really add to the work that has already been done, because without a formal commitment to open data, it's hard for other surrounding jurisdictions to see real ways that it can be implemented. And so while I thank the Budget Office and the Office of Planning and Sustainability for all the work they've put into this, I'm here today to urge you guys to vote, because it's going to take top-down sponsorship and a commitment of time and resources to make this work. And I just want to let you know, other jurisdictions are watching and hoping that, you know, this an ordinance like this can really, you know, blaze the trail into that junction between technology and government, and you have the support of the citizenship. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And sometimes I'm a fan of non-monetized things, that we sometimes put too many dollar signs and look at too many things by dollar signs. But when we're talking about open data, we should have some ethical consistency, and that the openness should let us follow the money. but I don't think we got a visual budget. A visual budget would be one where we can see the nice little pie chart and find out exactly what percent of the city budget is consumed by the Portland Police Bureau. And then when you click on that little pie piece, you're able to drill down. Those people over there at that particular bureau sometimes aren't the biggest fans of open data. So when, you know, different people are interested in different data, open data for different reasons. Some people see monetization. Some people see it as a tool to influence public policy. And different in different ways. My primary belief is that we can use open data for a lot of things, including ending the killing of black and brown people by our police department. That we can drill down on the Portland Police Bureau and find out how many cops have killed two people, how many cops have killed zero people, and then ask ourselves the ethical questions from that data. Do we keep cops that kill people when the statistical practice is that the best cops don't kill people? So the ordinance, or I'm not sure if it's an ordinance or a resolution that we're working on, it's an ordinance to advance, you know, it's definitely worth advancing, but I'm not hearing the bridging, the equity lens bridging between how open data is going to deliver to the people who need the most from the city, the people that are in vulnerable communities, the people that are in East Portland, the people that have been gentrified out. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, Andrew, the tableau is online now, isn't it, for the proposed budget?
Yes.
And can you tell me where people can access that, and I'll say it on the record?
PortlandOregon.gov/CBO.
PortlandOregon.gov/CBO. There is actually a new tableau platform that does all of the budget for all of the different bureaus by percentages charts, and you can actually hover over each of the line items and get a longer narrative description of what each of those items is. So I'd encourage people to check it out. We're always happy to get feedback and commentary on that. It's a beta, so it's not a completed product, but we want to get your feedback. Thank you for your testimony. Next three, please.
Our Phoenix Hip, Grace Hip, and Willow Hip.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Phoenix Grace and Willow's mom. This is their first time in front of City Council.
Excellent.
I'm feeling kind of afraid, as is Willow. She's coming forward.
No worries. And if you could just say your name into the microphone and speak your piece. Thank you for being here.
They would like me to introduce them in
Please.
Context with...
could you do it into the microphone? Because it's hard for people who are watching.
Would you like them to introduce themselves first?
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
My name is Grace.
My name is Phoenix.
I'm Willow.
The kids are here to speak to the importance of transparency with the Portland Police Department and a commitment to the truth about what goes on in the streets. These children have been to numerous rallies and protests as part of a peaceful contingent, and again and again and again, they have witnessed unspeakable atrocities by the police department. On Monday, we did not attend the May Day rally. The kids went to school. On their way home from school, they take the bus to get through downtown Portland. They were on a TriMet bus when they looked out, there were riot police everywhere. My children said that's all they could see was riot police indiscriminately attacking people. I will let them take it from there. It was their eyewitness, not mine. Phoenix, you're first.
So, yeah, thank you for being here and testifying, and I would simply ask you kids to remember what we are testifying on here today. I will let the children speak.
Transparency.
Thank you.
We're here, Mayor.
Good morning.
Phoenix.
I was coming back from school on the MAX, and we were driving on the MAX, and there were riot cops. They were like driving by a bunch. I looked out my window and I saw just riot cops everywhere. And then I said, "Steve, why is there a bunch of riot cops?" And he said, "It's May Day." And I'm like, "What's May Day?" And he's like, and they were, like, beating people up, running after people, and I looked out my window, and they were, like, running after people and beating them up.
Thank you. Who wants to be next?
Great.
Thank you.
When we were coming back from school that day, all I saw, I looked out the window, and all I saw was, like, people getting hurt and the cops, like, running after everyone. And I looked down this one street, and there was, like, smoke everywhere. And I think someone was, like, one of the cops were, like, putting tear gas everywhere. And I saw them running after, like, homeless people and stuff and trying to hurt them. And, yeah.
How did you feel?
I felt scared, and I don't like the cops when I don't like them now because I thought they were going to be here to, like, help people, not hurt people.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony.
Go, Willow. Just go. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing as Phoenix. Go.
Honey, you don't have to testify. If you don't feel comfortable, you certainly don't have to.
Yeah, I saw the same thing as them.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The next three are Michael, I believe it's Darrow, Stars. The next three are Steve Essis, Michael, I believe it is Darrow, or Duro, and Star Stoffer. Steve Essis, Michael, Duro, and Star.
I think Mikey left.
Go ahead, take Wayne Wigness then.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Steve Essis. I had some questions about the open data and the use for it. It sounds good, but there's many things that have sounded good, and there doesn't seem to be much real accountability for the information. So I'm curious. The Portland Police Department reached an agreement with the Justice Department over some improvements that they can make, and the Police Department itself gathered some pretty impressive data on why they needed to comply. And yet they've been stonewalling and refusing to implement these this program of improvement for years. The Civilian Review Board process has been stymied and hampered. There's all kinds of things like this. And what I'm concerned about is that technocrats and possibly the police department and others may just simply use this, avoid the real virtues of open data to make people accountable for what they're doing and to really engage the public in this process of what it means to be part of a community and part of the government, and to politicize it. In other words, are the police free to demonize dissidents? Are they free to brutalize dissidents? From what I see, that this information on the role of the police in the black community, in the brown community, and among the poor communities was open. The information was there. It's only the rise of groups like Don't Shoot Portland and Black Lives Matter that seems to bring this to the forefront, that this information has not been utilized at all.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Star Stoffer. this is a great idea, except that we all know how the the police department works. We also especially know how the Portland Police Department works. My curiosity in regards to what they've agreed to share is, what do they get to decide what they're going to share? Because then that's not really open data or public record. Not only that, how are the police utilizing this function to profile in vulnerable communities? I want to know how the police are utilizing this function to profile protesters, since we know how this council feels about people utilizing their constitutional rights to free speech. And we certainly know how the police feel, especially if people of color are utilizing their rights to free speech.